Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, hello, hello!
Welcome!
Hello!
Stop! Stop! Continue! Stop!
I couldn't wait to get in the room. I did a little lunge in the dark. I lunged my way in. Welcome. How is everyone? Have you had a good, unnaturally warm day? Shit, I got a sunburn at the beach. I got sunburnt here in Cornwall, which is so... Sorry. Wales. No, it's great to be in Edinburgh. We love it. If I can't play the dumb American, what can I do?
Play the dumb American.
I'm just playing. Guys, welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I would like to ask a question. Who listens to the podcast? Okay, I felt like it was this crazy section. All right, all right, all right. And give us a cheer if you have never listened to the podcast, don't know about us. Go ahead. Okay, a little bit more trepidatious. I'm not sure I want to join this cult just yet. No, thank you for coming along. All are welcome. I'll tell you a little bit about what we do just so you can kind of understand the format, because I assume if you don't listen to us, then you don't know what a podcast is. So we're going to have to get a PowerPoint. No. Let me introduce us and then I'll tell them a little bit about what we do. Your hair is so good tonight, Hannah. This is Hannah George.
Hi, everybody. Hi. No, you're right not to cheer. You don't know me yet. I could be shit. So it's exciting. I too was at the beach. I do not... This isn't sunburn, I've just been pre-drinking, so I'm a bit of the booze rouge, I call it, and you're very welcome.
It's hard to tell, and we've got Katie Wilkins, hello.
Yay! Thank you very much.
I feel a bit offended now. It's okay, that's fine.
I've been having a bit of drama. Some of my Edinburgh housemates, they're just a bit emotionally immature. They're my children! It's fine. It was a pullback and reveal gag.
I don't know how you're juggling it, because I just have to FaceTime mine. I've got a little girl, but she's back home, and I just, God, have you ever FaceTimed a child? It's like talking to your friend in college on drugs. Like, it's just erratic and weird. Like, how are you? And before you've even, oh, how are you, baby? We got pizza. Daddy got pizza also. And daddy, and they just get stuck on daddy. And I just hang up. I just send the call. Thank you for coming along. We've recently celebrated our 200th episode as a podcast, so it's really fun to be back up here in Edinburgh. Yes, I know where we actually are. And it's at this point in the run, like, we've had 6 shows, I think, or we're on our 6th show, and it becomes less a podcast and more a scientific experiment to test the effects of daily drinking on 3 very anxious women.
It's diarrhea.
It's diarrhea.
If anyone was wondering.
The results are in.
Yeah. There's a man in the front row with a very fixed grin. There. What have I come to? What have I brought my dad to? It might not be his dad, actually. Is it? No. Oh, no. He's just gone. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're also very young. Yeah, no. You're quite right.
Oh, Hannah.
I know. Stormed out.
Are you together? Yeah. I'm so sorry. Oh, what a start.
Look.
Thank you.
Oh, come on. You can role play the shit out of that later. It'll be fine. Right.
Oh, okay. Who says you haven't? I'm so sorry. You look very young. You're both gorgeous. And
the lights are very bright.
To be fair, the light is very different on you, and it's making your hair look grey. That's all. No, no, no. Your forehead's...
What forehead?
What forehead? Oh, what a start. The funny part is you married an older man, but you can't identify one in the wild. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Shall we bring out our guest?
I think we should.
She's a comedian. She's very funny. She is one half of her own fantastic true crime podcast, which is called All Killa, No Filla. Please welcome Rachel Fairburn.
Rachel!
Hey!
Rachel, welcome.
Hi, Rachel.
Thank you. I was wondering then, I mean, if anyone listens to my podcast, I was thinking, I bet they're thinking she's one half, but I was thinking, I bet who's thinking, oh, I hope it's Kira. And then I came out and they went, no.
They were gasping.
Amazing. There were audible gasps. So yeah. I think you're
great.
In company. Rachel, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Good.
Very well.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, we always kick off the podcast with this question we ask our guest. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes.
Okay.
Twice in one day. Now. So the day started with my wheelie bin being stolen. When I lived in Manchester. Now, you would think if your bin is stolen that, you know, they bring you one back. No, they don't. You have to get a crime reference number and you have to pay £50 despite being a victim of a crime.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, so.
God damn it.
Thank you, Manchester City Council. Then, on this very day, the same day, I was went to work. Because I used to work in a rare books library, I know, with my accent, amazing. And I went to work, and 2 men came in, because it's open to the public, 2 men came in, and they were sort of a bit laddie, you know, like, how's it going? And I was thinking, oh, this is nice, we're, you know, branching out, the clientele isn't just academics anymore. Good to see you, lads, what are you into? Is it Dante? Is it, you know... Is it religious material? No. They managed to go into the staff room, which was the back of the reception area that I was on, and they managed to get into my handbag and steal my purse.
Oh, no.
So, and do you know what? I knew something was going on, right?
Yeah.
Because they walked out and he went, "Say your love."
Oh, no.
And I thought, what have they been up to? Right. Oh, they also stole my phone as well. That's the other thing. My purse and my phone.
Oh, nice.
So I've got no bin. I've got no purse. I've got no phone. This is the worst day ever.
No.
So that was one day. And the police came because it was classed as a burglary because it was on a work's premises.
Uh-huh.
The police came. So, and then the police came to my house that evening. Not about the bin, may I stress, just about the purse. And they were very, very young policemen, very young. I've never felt so old. And
just like you, sir. For context.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any opportunity. Sorry, no, Rachel. No, carry on.
We're winning him round.
It's Detective Asshole.
Anyway, so I had to give a statement about this purse that had been stolen. At one point, the policeman said, "Oh, can you describe the purse?" And I said, "Yes, it was from Primark." and this is true. It was gold glittery. And he went, "Ha, ha, ha." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you find this funny, because I don't." Right? And he was like, "All right, take it a bit more seriously." Anyway. So then I managed to, you know, get another phone. Mm. Don't ever get the purse back. Oh. Pay 50 quid for a bin. Which then, right, then I was accused of a crime because my bin had been taken to this entry somewhere in Moston in North Manchester. All the stuff that was in my bin had been tipped out. So I had something with my address on in the bin. Oh, no. And I was then accused of fly tipping and threatened by Manchester City Council with more... They were like, "Oh, you know, your stuff's been found here. Can you explain this?" I was like, "Oh my God, I'm the victim here. Like three times over, this is horrendous." And then I had to write this grovelling letter to Manchester City Council about how I would never fly tip.
With my address.
With my other time. And then, long story short, forgot about it all. I was contacted by the police to tell me that the person who had stolen my purse had gone to prison. And not just for that. I mean, that was one of the things that was used in whatever else he'd been doing. Yeah. So then naturally, I knew the guy's name because it was on the letter, and I tried to find him on Facebook to see. But I couldn't find him on there because that's a natural thing you do anyway.
So was there CCTV and stuff?
There was CCTV.
Wow.
And they'd got him on that sort of...
Amazing.
With my purse and my phone. Yes.
Do you know what else he did?
No, I don't know. And it was one of those things I was like, well, I think that's why I went on... I couldn't find anything.
Right.
And then, but I think I gave up very easily because basically I wanted to get an idea of the man from his Facebook. You know, I wanted to know more about the man. And I just gave up after that. But yeah, he went to prison. Yeah,
the man behind the crime.
Yeah.
What I love, like, as well, is like just the tiniest modicum of research. There were probably some really, really expensive books in that shop, right?
Yeah. Oh my God! So in the library, for example, I mean. If you really want it, I mean, you've got to be pretty sad. I don't think he was that smart. I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, but he looks a bit fucking thick. I mean, in that library we worked in, this is how much valuable stuff we had in there. You weren't actually allowed to know, as a staff member, how much something was worth.
Oh, wow.
In case you were... maybe it was just like me. Maybe we can sound that little northern or anything. But there was, we did have an academic who I was friends with told me there was a first edition of Dante's Inferno.
Fucking hell.
And that was worth it. I think
that wasn't a joke, but it turned into one, didn't it?
It was worth, I think, something like 58 million or something like that.
Oh my God.
Wow.
But also, they also had, I mean, I shouldn't really be saying this, but fuck it, I don't work there anymore. They were. A bunch of assholes, anyway. They had a first folio of Shakespeare's sonnets. There's only three, I think, in the world.
My God.
But they had theirs stolen.
Years
they did. Before, because they'd put it on this.
Just bloke with it.
See you alone. Well, honestly, this is the mad thing. They just displayed it without any thought.
You know, like they keep the air temperature, like cigar cases.
Yeah,
like
Tupperware, Katie. It's called Tupperware.
Yeah. So this came later, but this was before I worked there. And they were very sort of, they didn't expect the general public to come in, but they... they didn't, and the general public did come in, and they had it on display, not very safely, but they think it was stolen to order by a collector in Japan.
Oh, wow.
So that's the kind of thing that used to happen.
Wowzers. Yeah.
Not on my watch, though. just my own stuff used to get nicked when I was there.
I love that he could have come away with like 33 million or 53 million pounds. He's got like a fucking Nokia 3310.
Yeah. Hey, oh man, it was a BlackBerry.
Oh my God, even worse!
Who has them? I was the only person I knew with a BlackBerry.
I loved BlackBerry for no good reason, but I just loved my BlackBerry. Well, normally, Rachel, we ask if you had the perpetrator here, what would you say or what would you do, you know, with impunity, of course. You can pick either perpetrator. I'm assuming they're not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
What would you mean? What would I say to the person?
Yeah, what would you say to the person that either stole
your bin?
Well,
do you know what?
Or...
if that was the same person that stole my bin and my purse in one day, what vendetta have you got against me? Like, that. But what I would say is, do you know what it was? You stole my belongings, but my time is more valuable. And that was hours and hours out of my day. And also, there was a woman I worked with who I hated, who then, because I had no money to get home, she had to lend me £10 and I just felt...
Oh.
You know when you just feel like...
Oh.
You know when you're like, I would rather crawl home over broken glass. But yet here we are. And I had to thank her. And that was, you know...
Oh, that's an FFAC, favour from a cunt.
Yeah.
We all have to do it and it's the worst.
It's, yeah.
Oh. Thank you so... Oh, God, and I can listen to stories from the bookstore all evening, genuinely.
Yeah.
Welcome to my head.
Oh, man, I'm going to start insuring my bins. I don't want to get stung with a £50 levy.
But you see, I'm obsessed now with bins. I mean, I live in London now, and I am obsessed.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the rules are in London regarding the bins. If I hear the bin man, I'm like, right, there's the bin. Run out, get it back. Oh. I can't go through that again. Cannot go through it again.
My favourite is when I take out, like, the recycling and I just have to, like, shout back into house, go like, oh, a lot of non-alcoholic beer we've been enjoying recently.
No.
As they crash into the, like, the bottles, that sound. It's sort of like a symphony, though.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh, that was the sound of the pandemic.
It was.
It's just glass.
We should have been clapping the bin man and the NHS.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah, because who needs money when you can slap your fucking hands together? You're turning into America, that's all I'm saying, and I'm watching it.
How dare you?
It hurts because it's true.
I know.
It's true. We do great stuff with melted cheese, though. There's a trade-off. It swings and roundabout. Okay, are we ready for a true crime case? Thank you so much for that story, Rachel. Our case involves a man called Gregor McGregor.
Ooh.
Solid stuff.
Any guesses where he might be from?
It is Scotland, right?
It is Scotland.
Okay.
It is Scotland. You can get more specific if you wish.
You want to play Aberdeen?
Okay.
Edinburgh. Well, how did you pronounce it? Edinburgh. It was funny when she did it, but you're all like, that one's too smart to say it like that. She's a bit of a genius.
I thought you were saying a town that I didn't know, and I'm like, It's one of the islands.
I'm going to say Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Great. Any advance on that?
Glasgow,
just to throw it in. It is Edinburgh.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. A local lad.
Gregor, he's a local lad. Does anybody know about Gregor McGregor in the room? Oh. Maybe I can teach you something tonight. He was born in Edinburgh on Christmas Eve in 1786. So apologies to anyone who was personally affected by any of the events which are to follow. Gregor McGregor, he liked to lie about his ancestry. He claimed that he was related to a famous Scottish historical figure. Who do you think that might have been?
Was it Braveheart? William Wallace.
William Wallace.
That's his name. Is he Braveheart? I don't know what you
people do. No, his name is Mel Gibson. His name is Mel Gibson. Braveheart's a great guess. Yeah.
Frankie Boyle? I don't know how old that guy is. Like, he can be anything from 30 to 700.
Oh, can I have a guess? Rabbi Burns.
Who I think,
you know, when you see the drawings, obviously they didn't have photographs of him, but you know, you see drawings of him, I think he was all right, him. looked a bit Britpop to me. Kind of like the look of him. Like, oh, you write poems, do you? Give us a kiss. Yeah. I think he's quite fit. In fact, I saw a tea towel with him on the way up here before. I thought, I'll get myself that. Treat myself.
I'm trying not to say something mean.
About me?
No. Oh, my God. Of course
or
not.
Or Robbie Burns.
No. Just that I think Scotland is much better looking than England. I'm just throwing it out there.
I
feel like I've traveled quite a bit around here, believe it or not, and it's just like, and then you go over the border and things just start going like...
I
Just
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah, I do.
Way to lose the room, Taylor. We do not know how many of these people are Scottish.
I just
the sexy ones, I guess. You, sir.
I mean, I'm married to a Welsh guy, and there are only two kinds of Welshmen. There's a really like that kind, and just sort of like everything's wrong, but we're like, oh, and then there's the hot kind. He's both, actually.
Oh God, that's where my dad's in. Welsh. I don't want to choose which one of those my dad is.
I already chose Rachel. He's hot. I'm sorry. Where I meant for this case to go. I'm just going to tell you, it was Rob Roy.
Rob Roy.
They made a movie about that as well. I think it was called Bravish Heart. So he was not, in fact, related to Rob Roy, but his father was a member of something called the Black Watch.
Ooh. Can I just say that I don't think Katie knows who Rob Roy is. And I think it would be really helpful to Katie, silly little Katie, if you could explain who Rob Roy is.
Well, he was Liam Neeson. And he fought against things. He fought well. He fought hard. And he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
Is there a tea towel with him on? I might be interested then.
There should be.
There should be.
Rob Roy tea towel. So his father was a member of the Black Watch, which sounds very Game of Thrones. That's a Highland military regiment. So he sort of came from a military background. I don't know anything about the Black Watch, but I would not fuck with anybody that said they were a member of it. Their motto is, no one provokes me with impunity.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I'm trying out. I'm trying that lie. It's a good lie. Like, I mean, when the silent disco comes by.
I mean, it's not very catchy, is it? It's not very live, laugh, love.
It's not very snappy, is it? It's not snappy enough. It takes too long to say.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Nobody provokes me without impunity. Is that it?
Yeah.
They'll have left before you've even said it.
Yeah.
Welcome to my life. In 1803, when he was just 16, he enlisted in the military. This coincided with... I'm sorry, I chose a very bubbly drink tonight. This coincided with the start of a major conflict. What major conflict was going on in 1803?
Say that again.
He enlisted in the military
when he
at
was 16. Okay, and there was a conflict going
there
on.
There was a conflict going on in 1803.
1803,
yeah.
You say?
In Scotland? Yeah.
No, just around
the
Europe's
Boer War, the Battle of Waterloo. No,
I'm just nodding. We're very positive on this, but yes, you're right in your own way.
I like about this as well is the audience has done that thing
knows.
Where they're like, I think it was this, but I don't know if we should say it. Do they want us to shout?
Oh, we got the best heckles here.
I think what happened that year was there was a very contentious Eurovision.
And, I think that's actually right, Katie. That's good. Do you know what? It was the Napoleonic Wars.
And it was
this is what I mean. We get our heckles are always facts. It's like 1066. Curacao. 1066. Show us your tits.
I can't not do the.
I knew it would be something about a small man being angry. I knew it would be something. So.
Yes. So then he was sent to an island to. I sound like my daughter who I made fun of. That's karma. That's karma. He was sent to an island to defend it against a possible French invasion. What was the island?
I mean, I've got to hope it was the Isle of Wight.
Oh,
because it is my hometown.
It's your homeland. Your hometown.
But I want to also say, what's the one that's like the Gibraltar?
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm. Not an island.
It's not an island. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
That's a great
Sometimes
heckle.
The heckles are a bit more hurtful, actually. It's not... It's
Well, don't you guys just have it all over there? You know everything. You've been everywhere. Start your own podcast.
I'm going to say Malta.
Oh, yes.
Malta.
That's an island.
I was going to say Malta.
I'm sorry, already. Rachel. I've done
but,
two now.
But yeah, really? I would. I'll say Malta.
These are great guesses.
I'm going to say the Isle of Arran.
Okay. The island was Guernsey. But the French never showed up, so he was never sort of the war hero type. He basically just had a holiday and he met his wife. His wife was Maria Bowater. What was it about Maria Bowater that Gregor MacGregor liked so very much?
It's either tits or money. So,
tits or money.
I'm going to go for rich family.
You know, I don't like Deal or No Deal, but I would watch Tits or Money any fucking day of the week. That is brilliant. Tits or Money. Okay.
I think he really liked her surname and he wanted to go hyphened.
I think that maybe she was a lady who had... did have a proper history. Maybe she was related, for example, to Lee Evans or something. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know Evans and Bowater are different, but there's no famous Bowaters, but maybe there is.
Do you know what? You were definitely thinking along the right lines. It was money, not tits. And he was very, very interested in status. So she was, very high status lady. So it gave him a bit of fake clout. Basically, what was the first thing you think Gregor MacGregor bought with her money?
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Okay, it's Scottish, a castle.
Okay.
Oh, tea towel with rabbit burns on. It's got to be that, isn't it? It's got to be that.
Yeah, and then he framed it and said, "That's my uncle."
That's my uncle on the towel.
Is it something as big as a castle, or is it like brunch?
It's actually something intangible.
What?
A star.
What? Oh, no. Is he like one of those pricks that, buys like the
a
Lord?
Title.
Yes, he bought himself a title.
Ding, ding, ding. He bought a title. He bought the title of captain, which I didn't even... How can you do that? I hope that's not... I'm so scared of flying. I hope that's not how pilots get their license. I bought it. What? What buttons? So here he is, just trying to make himself seem a little better than he is. He's got this high-ranking wife. He goes back to Scotland because he's off pretending to fight in the wars. He goes back and starts using yet another title. What title do you think he whacks onto himself?
Legend.
Legend. Gregor MacGregor.
What was that? What was that?
Single.
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 Ooh. Single. Oh, so he says he's...
Oh, right. Okay.
He's going to be a player.
Ah.
Single.
That's a possibility.
The thing is, there's no way of knowing because there's that thing of like, we'd be a miss and then you'd be a missus. But with men, it's like you're a mister the moment you're born. You can be married.
Complete.
You can marry a baby, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, don't, but like, there's no way. I mean, he wouldn't have to change that to be a
No, he wouldn't.
Stud.
He wouldn't. Do you know what? He claimed that he had received a knighthood and he was now Sir Gregor MacGregor.
Oh, God.
So you're getting a sense of who this guy
He's a liar.
Yeah, he's a bit of a cunt.
I kind of fancy him.
You're on Gregor's side.
I like older men and he's like 400 years old.
So we will get into his crime very soon. But my last question is, do people believe him that he had gotten this knighthood?
What, has he brought the wife with him?
He's brought the wife with him.
And she's fancy.
She's fancy. Mm-hmm.
Well, Well, they might believe him if he's got, like, she's got whatever the equivalent of a Rolex was in the... And that checks out. She looks fancy.
What a fancy chastity belt you've got.
I don't believe him, though, because I sometimes think, like, people I knew at school, when they come back and they're like, I'm a doctor now. And I'm like, you used to eat Pritt stick. Like, you are not... You're not a fucking doctor. And if you are, then... Yeah. So I don't think they believe him because people can't change.
They did believe him. Oh. And actually, this was a real turning point because this is when he realizes it really sunk in just how easy it is to lie about big things at this time. So something happens in 1811, No, go for
it,
please.
Is the wife going along with the lies? Or does she not know he's doing it?
She's very much in the background of all of this. Would you believe? There's just not much written about her. I don't know what she was doing. I hope she was fucking other guys. If I'm being honest, something happens in 1811, which forces him to get off the sofa, basically, because he's just luxuriating in her money and his fake titles. And then something happens.
He's got Disney Plus. He's got
Netflix.
He's got
Diz Plus.
Oh, he's got Amazon Prime.
He's got the Diz Diz. Oh.
1811, something happens and he's got a... Oh, does she have a baby? No, he's not going to step up, is he?
Oh, that's so sweet that you thought, oh, I've got responsibilities now.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
Is it another war?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good guess.
Hey, so he's been luxuriating. In 1811, something stops him luxuriating.
Yeah. He's not doing anything.
And what did he say he was again? He said he was a...
A sir and a captain. A captain, sir. Sir Captain Gregor MacGregor.
Someone tells him that he has to sail a ship. Because he's a captain.
Oh, you have to act like the title that you've got.
You know, like if you lie and say you're a doctor and then someone has a heart attack, you're kind of, your bluff is called.
And then you're like, I'm a doctor of philosophy. Also, a lovely lady in the audience, just like, I just heard this voice, just went, she died.
Yes, yeah, I heard that. It was quite nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that woman was correct.
Well done,
that woman.
Yeah. Maria dies and her family cuts him off like before she takes her last breath. They're like, this prick. No.
Wow. I didn't know they could do that. I just thought you automatically get all the money.
I think they had some rights above the average. Yeah, like Oh, there was probably a man involved. Let's be honest. The father intervened. He jumps back into the military. He travels to Venezuela. And then he starts traveling through Central America, where they treat him like a prince. Mm. This really tickles Gregor's fancy. He's not just being adored. He's being adored in a tropical place. And he's starting to cook up a huge, huge scam. But first, he needed to get some credibility to show that, I actually am a prince of this part of the world, which this was just starting to be, this is a part of the world where everybody didn't know about it. It was sort of this very much, you could tell us anything about it. So how would he establish some credibility in Central America when he comes back to Scotland?
What, so he's come back to Scotland?
He's about to, but he wants to show, like, oh yeah, no, they love me.
Oh, so I am
the guy.
Would does he marry the daughter of somebody who's influential there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one. This voice in the darkness over there, whisper it. You know what? Say it lower, and I can hear it. And then he claims he's a god. That's a good one, isn't it?
That is a good one. That is a good one. Thank you for playing.
Maybe he brings home a little gold statue of a man, and he goes, "That's me." That is it. they think I'm a god.
That's me. That is.
Oh, that's good. No, I'm thinking similar. I'm just thinking a crown. Is he just wearing a crown?
Just shows up with a crown.
Just wearing a crown.
These are all excellent guesses. Rachel was right.
Oh,
I mean, he gets married again, basically. Yeah. Yeah. To another woman. The irony of needing a woman to make yourself complete. Think about it. Think about it. Her name, just because I feel like saying it, was Josefa Antonia Andrea Aristeguieta y Lovera, who came from a very high status family in Latin America. So this completes the image. Now, this is where the scam begins to take shape. Is anyone thinking about what the scam might be?
I'm still thinking about when I said that you were his father. The whole time. So come to me last and we'll decide what the scam is. And it's about a man who pretends a man is his father. It's not great.
I think she just meant you look like you make great decisions and you're loving and you're... No, you're... Well, like, come with me on it if you want me to... Jesus, okay.
The scam. But this guy also, like, is he smoking hot?
No. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, how... This guy's got to have, like, carry himself well. I think he's got to be, you know, reasonably attractive. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, everyone was fucking ugly in the old days. So he's, but it were. You see these pictures like, oh, here's a great beauty from that, and it's like a, it looks like the back of a spoon. But he's got to have had, but also he's probably lied, hasn't he? He's probably lied about his status, so that's what's, he's probably said, oh, I've got money, and that's why she's married.
That's it. But he's probably got a bit of charm and charisma.
I don't think it mattered in those days, did it?
I think having the titles was the charm and charisma. Like, I just get the sense, like, as soon as you could prove, like, I'm this, it was like, nobody seemed to question it.
So, but what is the scam?
Yeah, what is the scam? What do you think he tries to do?
So he's come back to Scotland.
Yep. He's going to scam his own people.
Has he convinced everyone that sausages should be square? Is this what Gregor McGregor has done? Is this what's happened? Oh, I don't know. Is he? So he's brought his new wife back from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does he claim that he's got some sort of power in Venezuela, and that he can? You know, I don't know. I don't know what happens in Venezuela. Is he said like, oh, I've got power and influence over there. Oh, let's open a mine and give me the money, and I'll bring you some gold back.
Okay.
Something like
that. Okay.
Yeah. I reckon it could be some kind of smuggling. Like maybe he's, you know, bringing something in and he's going, this has the magical power that we don't have in Scotland. But if you have this berry, for example, then you'll all have magic powers.
Yeah.
He's invented Juice Plus is what happened. That's what this guy's done.
Yeah.
Because also, anyone that sells Juice Plus, they're obsessed with things, aren't they? Like, ooh, I've got a Range Rover. But you've not, because it's just a picture you've Google imaged and you've like... Don't get me started on Juice Plus. I'm obsessed with Juice Plus. There's a girl I went to school with who I'm obsessed. She claims to be a six-figure earner. I've seen inside the house. She's not. Velour sofas. Live, laugh, love signs. You're not a six-figure earner. Anyway.
And she's on the phone now.
We have a special this month.
I know what this is. Juice Plus is a cult. That you're in Juice Plus. Someone's heard me saying this and now you've got to assassinate me. This is what happens. This is what's happening.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
But all like Scientology.
Exactly.
Hannah, any thoughts on what the scam might be?
Well, I feel like it's a bit like...
Without looking at my paper! Every time! I'm joking.
In the olden timey days, I feel like... It's a bit like people from the Isle of Wight now. There's a lot of them that haven't been to the mainland, for example. Mm-hmm. But in the olden timey days, the people from Scotland may not have been to Venezuela. They may not have known. And they hear Venezuela. And of course, I know the capital. I know how many people live in Venezuela. I know a lot about Venezuela, guys. I'm not going to patronise you by telling you everything I know about Venezuela. But I imagine these people didn't know that much about Venezuela. And the more you say Venezuela, the more it's just like, it's a lovely word to say.
It's a fancy word.
So what I'm saying maybe he says, it's a bit like you, it's the berry. He says, this is a thing from Venezuela. And it is magical and it's going to cure you. And he does like Reiki or something.
Okay. I mean, I was going to say, you're all on the right lines until you went there.
Okay.
This scam involves selling plots of land, which didn't exist. It's all about to get really fire festival. That's kind of where this all goes. So he travels back to Scotland with his wife with five names, and he starts referring to himself as Cazique, which meant prince. And he said, I am Cazique of Poyais. a country called Poyais, which he claimed was a new country on the Mosquito Coast in Central America. How did he convince people
to go to the Mosquito Coast? I mean, fucking
hell. It sells itself, doesn't it? You just want to go. How did he convince people this was a legit investment? What do you think he did to prove, like, listen, look, you've got to get in on this?
Hmm.
I mean, go back to your Juice Plus friend. How did she convince you to buy all that stuff that's in your garage?
What would she, maybe...
Go back to Fyre Festival. They didn't have videos.
Do you know, I never watched the Fyre Festival thing. I started watching it. I was like, I hate everyone involved in this. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm glad
everyone
had a bad time. some cunts got ripped off. What a shame.
It was he did reverse psychology.
Mm.
He was like,
"Ooh, okay.
This is very elite. It's probably not for you, actually. I shouldn't even be telling you. It's only the best people. Oh God, you've beaten it out of me. All right, I'll show you the plot of land, but it's really not for you.
Right. Oh, I like it.
I like that as well. I think that's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe he brought back some really fat animals and were like, oh, these animals were raised on my Venezuelan land and they're the fattest animals you've ever seen. They are well delicious. And you could have a bit of that if you're up for it.
Yeah.
You're genuinely thinking along the right lines. Because that's what people would care about. How fertile is the land? How can I
have
continue
a gold
to make money?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, they just...
I'm just trying to think, like, the air is coming right out of Hannah.
but they just expecting that you'd buy the land and then people
can
would go.
Can you please take that cork out because it is going to fly? If you don't do it soon, it's going
to
go
what?
Off like a
I was
fucking gun.
I was waiting until I got a laugh and then I was going to be like, yes! Thank you. But
it's
it never came.
Before. We have had just corks shoot around and one of us is going to die and it's going to be great.
Did you notice then that I noticed a new bottle come out and I just... got rid of that. I'll have a fresh one. Thank you very much.
Do you know what? I wasn't going to drink Prosecco, but can I?
Yeah. Right.
I had to force that water down to get my glass free. I didn't even bring a glass out. So any other thoughts before I reveal what he did?
I mean, I wanted to say sort of like he just put a filter on the pictures, but I know that's wrong. I know that's the wrong era. But I feel like, could he have got some paintings done and sort of gone, go sepia?
Well, again, you're really not far off. I know, we're very generous. That is so close. Well done. Good stuff.
Female workplace.
So it was kind of the 19th century equivalent of a social media campaign. He had brochures printed up with beautiful drawings.
Okay.
Of what the land looked like. It was described as fertile, beautiful, free of tropical diseases.
That's my Tinder profile. And it's all lies.
He had songs written about Poyais, which he would hire people to sing in the streets of London and Edinburgh. The Poyais. And he would say, these are traditional Poyaisian folk songs.
What?
Oh!
He got them to sing. Wow. It's like Club Tropical. Don't say Club Tropicana when you've had a few. But like, is it like he just was just like singing the songs about like this place is great?
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
I mean, he's you know, say what you like about him, he can do some PR.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of comedians in Edinburgh that would be like, let's get this guy. Let's get this guy in.
He had detailed descriptions of everything at the ready. There was not a question he couldn't answer. He tackled everything, every concern. And this is the real kicker. He managed to get a £200,000 loan from a bank to set up a Poyais consulate.
Wow.
That is the equivalent of £10 million
Whoa.
Today. That's how convincing he
Banks
was.
Banks like Sir Captains.
Oh, boy. Sir Captain. It just sounds like a Tom Hanks role. Sir Captain Gregor McGregor, played by Tom Hanks. He had a special sales tactic when it came to selling the land to the Scottish. How do you think he appealed to the Scottish market?
Told him it's cheap.
Told him it's cheap.
what is Scottish... Grow your own tartan? I don't know. It's a haggis farm. I don't know.
You've got to buy now or the English will get it all.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what,
that's,
Katie?
That's good, isn't it?
Katie, I'm going to give it to you.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to you because he basically said, this is our chance to have our own colony. By this land, we will plant the flag together. Rob Roy is my motherfucking great-grandfather. Let's do this. What happened next?
Ooh. Well, I imagine, did some people go, oh, right, I'm up for that, and give him money, and then he vanishes?
Okay.
I like to think he found someone he really loved. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't about status. He was kind of like...
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
I don't need schemes when I have the dream woman. I'm Gregor McGregor. I'm Gregor McGregor. You know, I hadn't tried the vodka lime and soda in a can until tonight, and it was pretty good. I'd recommend it. Any other thoughts? What happened next?
It's getting a bit Anna, what's it?
Oh, Anna Delvey.
Oh, yeah. Their pair is always better.
She raised...
Why do you look poor?
Are you pregnant or are they fat? If you haven't seen the show, then that was weird.
So I reckon he maybe gets nearly all the way and then he really upsets his friend with a credit card and then it all comes tumbling down.
Okay. Like it. Any other thoughts there? Hannah?
What?
You're the only one that hasn't said anything.
Oh, that doesn't sound like me. I'm almost certain I'll
give
you an answer.
What happened next? Do you think the scam worked?
Yeah, I think it works, but then he disappears because that's how you do a scam. You don't just go back the next year and like, it's the fucking cricket coast. Or that was like an animal reference rather, because I was like thinking mosquito.
Mosquito, cricket.
And then I thought cricket, but then I thought like people might just think I mean cricket. And
noisy here.
Yeah, you're right. You can kind of only do that once.
Not what crickets sound like. Ear, ear, ear. That's... I grew up in the country. Can't even do a cricket.
Also, people will be going, is it a cicada or something? Cicada?
Cicada.
Stigmata.
What is cicada?
It's like you hear them out there when you're on holiday and you're like, oh my God, so many stigmatas out there. It's kind of cute.
Oh no. Sometimes it's just for us, okay? We have fun. Don't know what you're doing, but it's fine. It's fine. You know what? You guys were right. It works all too well. Hundreds of hopeful Scottish people and some English people set sail for Poyais following the exact coordinates Gregor had given the captains.
No.
When they arrived.
They left. They went.
Oh, they went. He gave them coordinates. Ships were sent.
I cannot believe that he did this. I can believe everything else. I can't believe he sent them.
He sent them.
Oh,
he followed
God.
It right on
Gregor
through.
Gregor McGregor, what have you done? I'm genuinely shocked.
It's crazy. And I had never heard of this guy. But some people consider this the like biggest scam in history. Because it's on such a massive scale. What was my fucking question? Oh, I haven't asked it yet. The ship arrives. There are hundreds of hopefuls ready for their land. What was their reaction when they landed?
Oh, crap.
On the Mosquito Coast.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah.
No spoilers! They have to react first.
I think they died of tropical disease is what I... Is what I think happened.
They do die of tropical diseases.
No.
Oh, it happened so long ago. We shouldn't even think about it. It's fine. What is there to learn from history?
Question, like, so obviously they died, but how did Gregor McGregor not die of tropical disease? Like, because he
didn't go back.
No, but he went there before.
Oh yeah, he was there before, but he's in the military and he is sending them to a place where no one was stationed. So the Mosquito Coast, they show up. They thought the captain had just taken a wrong turn. They're like, no, it's this place with the brochure. And he's like, no, I've got the coordinates right. It's just swampland. They tried to set up camp. A hurricane battered them.
Sure.
No,
I'm just... It's just getting worse. Sure. And I just like... It's horrible.
It just sounds like camping, to be honest with you.
That's why I don't understand camping. Because I read all these stories and I'm like, it's just too similar.
Yeah.
I don't want to brush with death and then home.
There's a hurricane? What else?
There's a hurricane people? And then the mosquitoes come and they're carrying disease. And it's estimated that 2/3 of all the settlers there died. And that was just the first wave.
No.
of people to arrive.
Gregor.
Because news travels so slowly that by the time it got back to anyone, like, don't come, it's a death trap, this is horrible, he had fucked off. Exactly as you predicted.
I still fancy him. I'm going to say it.
He fucks off to France. And he went on to repeat the Poirier scheme over and over for how long?
Oh, God.
How long did he get away with it, do you think? It's your final question.
So he does it again with French people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And they go.
And they go.
He's the worst. Isn't he awful?
He's not great.
I am thrilled by how awful he is. I'd say a decade.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go 6 years.
6 years. Okay.
I think he's still doing it.
And he's in the audience tonight.
Gregor!
You old rascal.
You're not as old as we thought you were, sir. Come on up. You look amazing for 400. My God. I mean, I can't do maths. When was this set?
I just...
18 times.
It doesn't matter. I just can't believe that this whole thing has happened. it's a different show every night, folks. Come back. He repeated it over and over for the next 15 years.
Whoa!
It's thought he's responsible for the deaths of over 500 people.
Oh, that's less than I thought.
I know. Do you know what? It doesn't sound so bad when you put it that way. But hundreds more went and managed to survive and kind of like hobbled back like, don't go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's how they spoke.
Don't go.
I'm afraid there's no karma whatsoever in this case. He eventually fled to Venezuela again. He was welcomed with open arms, and he was even awarded a belated medal for his service in the war. To be a white man! Oh, it's such a good time! So he died.
Did he do it all with his real name?
Yeah.
And they still gave him a medal.
If you can believe Gregor McGregor is a real fucking name, but it actually is. Gregor McGregor. Glenn McGlenn. My name's Glenn. Taylor Glenn. Hi. It's great to meet you. Anyway, we won't raise a glass to him. We always raise a glass to something. So let's raise a glass to Instagram, because at least word travels fast if it's a scam.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wow.
I just want to talk to you all about Juice Plus.
Feeling tired. Okay, guys, it's that time of the night when one of you needs to come up and tell us.
You need to come up and tell it.
Someone's got one.
I mean, we knew that wing was going to jump right on it. We didn't even need the purple science lights. Come on up, please.
Come on up. Hey, what's your name?
Hello.
My name is Devry.
Devry.
Hi, Devry.
Hello. Trying to be special, you know, America and stuff. So Devry is my name.
I understand.
Yes. I knew you would, Taylor. I knew you would.
Yeah, it'll surprise you to know I'm a lot older than Taylor Swift.
Oh, but you look the same. So you're doing great. All right, should I just jump on in?
Yes, please do.
Great. Let me take you back in time. The year is 2009. Okay. Blake Lively, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes rule the box office and our body goals, which I should have put a trigger warning on probably. Robert Pattinson adorns every teenage wall and Uggs are the height of fashion. So, also Chipotle is the national dish of the United States.
This is thorough. Thank you. Yeah.
You got to set a scene, baby, for telling a tale. So there I am, 16 years old, standing in line at Chipotle. I had just gotten my driver's license, so you can't drive with someone in the car, but you can drive around. It's wild. And I had been sent to retrieve Chipotle before going to my best friend's house, who was the daughter of the chief of police. I'm from a white American suburb. You should have seen that one coming, probably. So I'm going to get the Chipotle. As I'm in line, I'm waiting. And it's, you know, again, Chipotle, you're a teenager. You can just get diuretic meats once a week and it affects nothing. So I'm there. I have absolutely zero.
Can I ask a question? What the fuck is Chipotle?
What's the equivalent here? It's
Chipotle.
Like tortilla.
Because I've been through the potato wedge craze of the mid-90s and I've not, you know, I've got PTSD.
It's like a chain burrito.
You stand in line. Yeah, please. It's owned by McDonald's, but what is it?
Right.
So you stand in line and there's like little trays of essentially just shredded meats doused in some kind of oil and chili, and you put it in a receptacle of some kind, and then you just shovel it into your body. They're particularly known for their burritos, which are about the weight of a newborn infant. So
amazing.
Yeah, so that's Chipotle.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Please do continue. You're welcome.
So there I am in Chipotle. I'm pondering, you know, do I go for the tacos or the burrito bowl? I notice the girl in front of me. She's about 5 foot nothing. Now, I'm not a heightist here, but that becomes relevant. She's wearing sweatpants that are like rolled up and Uggs to the knees. Again, 2009. We get through the entire line. I get back to my car. I drove a purple box car that was a Scion XB.
Nice.
And it had a lowered body kit and a dual exhaust because it was based on a Tokyo Drag Race video game. Okay. I still drive that car. His name is Alexander the Grape. We're best friends. If I hear anybody talking shit. So I get in my car. I'm going to my best friend's house, bringing her the zesty tacos. I'm at the stop sign. I'm about to turn right. I've been there for some time when I get rear-ended. Rear-ended at the stop sign.
No.
I look in the rearview mirror and I keep it cool. Okay. I keep it cool. And I notice it's the small girl that was in front of me. I'm like, ugh. You know, just two kids. So I go to open my door to get out and, you know, exchange details or whatnot. And this little bitch pulls out in front of me. And as she zips away, she flips me off.
Oh.
Now, every American is born an asshole. They don't have a
choice. We don't have a choice.
Every American white woman is born with a Karen just sort of roiling in their blood, just waiting for the opportunity to come. She's like every one of our, like, you know, sleep paralysis demons, like, ask for the manager. And we're like, I won't. So I'm there. I get rear-ended. She flips me off as I peel out. And unfortunately for her, I had just binged watched every episode of BBC's Sherlock. So I was very attuned to fucking details.
Oh, you went straight to the Lime Palace.
Yes. I was like, oh, hell no. So as she's peeling out, I'm like, that's a Toyota, about 2004, mid-blue. And the first four things of the license plate are this, this, and that.
Nice.
And I was like, fucking got you. Like, Benedict, move over. So I call the police. Natch. Comes easy. And... Guy comes to me and he's just like already annoyed to be there. And I'm like, you and me both, brother, but let's get through this. He starts taking the details. He's like, you know, it's going to be like nearly impossible to find her. And I was like, well, you've got at least half of a license plate and it's only 11. So we got all day. And he's like, I just don't think I can find her. And this is when like the Karen evolved.
Devery, yes. You have a great future as a stand-up comic, but you got to wrap this up in 10 seconds.
Okay, you got it. Anyway, he tells me he can't find her. I say, this Chipotle is for the daughter of the chief of police. He says, you're telling me I have to do this. I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you, you have to do your job. I go, I eat my burrito. I get a phone call. He's like, I got her on the phone. I can't find her. She says she's going to Milan to be a model tomorrow. And I said, she's 5 feet tall. And she just ordered a burrito the size of a literal, like, 9-month-old fetus. So there's no chance. He calls me 3 hours later. He found her. That was her third moving violation of the month. She got her license stripped.
Yeah.
Victory for me.
Yes.
And I walked that Chipotle off the next day like nothing ever happened.
Yes! Jay!
Thank you!
Thank you! No further questions, Your Honor.
Marvelous.
Okay, just very quickly, we have a 40th birthday. Elaine, where are you? Happy birthday, Elaine!
Yes, Elaine! We have a card!
We've got a little card for you, Elaine. Thank you so much for listening.
Happy birthday. It's literally
Happy
Elaine
birthday.
Came up to me in a bar. It was so sweet. She was like, Hannah! And it was lovely.
Rachel, thank you so much.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.